You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home Abroad, and I'm delighted to reconnect with Kerry Mortimer. Kerry is just back, having been in Ireland for the GAA World Games, and that's what I want to catch up with her about, is that how successful that was, how Ottawa did, how Canada did, what the experience was like, the attendance from around the world, everything to do with the GAA World Games, because the next one will be, I think, in 3 years' time. So it's a big deal. And because it's a big deal, I know Kerry and I talked before she went, but I did want to touch base and find out, how was it?
It was brilliant. It was an absolutely fantastic event from beginning to end. Every time I go, it's like it's just better organized and more professional, and they just kind of always up the ante. And it really is just a wonderful festival, a whole week of activities for folks to come and enjoy.
And Kerry, in comparison to 3 years ago, was the representation from around the world more widespread, more teams in from places that hadn't been before, do you think?
There were more teams. Yep, there were more teams. So it was the highest number of teams this year, which was, I think, 113. I think the, you know, from where in the world was, you know, similar-ish, but maybe, you know, maybe more. There was maybe a few more from Argentina. And then we had the Sable Shamrocks from Zambia, which was, you know, a really interesting experience and project for them to in so well.
So 113 teams roughly, and huge representation, and covering all ages and levels of play. And as I understand it, when you and I talked last, there were opportunities for people from countries who had not been born in Ireland, and there was a whole series of players from that. How did you view that, or how did you see that that level of play was being displayed?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And in fact, that is the large, by far, percentage of participants and participating teams are from the non-Irish born division. So for instance, it's called the international division, there was, you know, three divisions, senior, intermediate, and junior for men's and ladies football. You know, a number of teams in each of those divisions where you had two sides to it, versus in the Irish born division, you might have had maybe four or five teams in each competition, whereas we'd have had three divisions, you know, plus, you know, times five or six, or up to eight or 10 in each competition. So it's substantially larger. I mean, if I had to estimate, it's probably 70 or 80% non-Irish born.
And Kerry, what makes something like this, I suppose, very important is the local reaction and the local involvement. How appreciative or how aware do you think Ireland is that this was going on? What could you sense?
Yeah, I mean, what you can gauge on the ground is the local community. So I can say for Waterford, the city and even the surrounding area, we're very aware and very engaged. And I think it's something that World GAA has been working on over the years, kind of spending more effort on ensuring that Ireland and those living in Ireland are aware of this phenomenal event happening in their backyard. So definitely, like, Waterford City did so much to make this happen. It is an international event, large event by any standards, no matter whether it's sports or otherwise. And they did a lot to, you know, the parade, the opening parade on the Monday went all through town, and it was, you know, the streets were lined with people that way. And then another really important part and a very special aspect of the event is engaging the local GAA clubs and twinning them with all of the traveling teams. And so that happens on the Tuesday. So on the Tuesday evening, all the traveling teams are paired with local clubs stretching all around Waterford, even to the border of Cork, in some cases, which is where we were. Our team was, our ladies, Ottawa Gales team was paired with Upper Ballyduff, which is a very small little club Little country club near the border of Cork. And it, as GAA clubs are, they're the heartbeat of a community. And that was really on display when we went to visit them. And so that's a very special part of it too. So in terms of the local community, there really is a lot of effort to, engage and have them participate in it and be able to sort of share in the pride, I think, that they should feel in, having their sports and that showcased around the world.
And Kerry, when you mentioned local, I think this all is what it's all about. So from an Ottawa perspective, the local representation, how do you feel that they enjoyed the event and how did they come out of it at the end?
Yeah, it was very special for us because, so last time in Derry, we had a men's football team and that was sort of the first time that, we as a club and even any organization in Canada had entered a club team. So that happened in 23. And then our goal for this year was to add a ladies football team. And so we were able to do that. So we were a little unique in that we had two club teams entered, whereas the other Canada teams, there were 10 Canada teams altogether. So the eight others were more regional representative teams. And part of the focus and why we wanted to do that is to have a pathway for so many of our players that have come through the youth program. So on the men's team, we had 10 of the 14 on the roster had played through our youth program. And on the ladies team, it was six. So it was just, you know, it was the first year for our ladies. So it's amazing the experience and the we had a mix of veterans and new, you know, rookies and it was amazing at the end of the week how enthusiastic everyone was, like, okay, well, next time, you know, we'll get this person and this person who they remember playing youth with. We're like, oh, we'll get them back. And we know that, you know, Ella's going to be done her university soccer, so she'll be ready. And, you know, so they're already enthusiastically looking forward to the next time and being able to bring in others to really add to the level of play.
And that brings us to the next time. When is the next time?
The next time will be in 3 years, and we don't know the location in Ireland. And so what happens is the communities will, there'll be a request for proposal that goes out from the World GAA, and the different communities can then apply to be able to host this event. It is a big, you know, undertaking. So it's not for the faint of heart, for sure. And you have to have, like, I will say the facilities at Waterford, that was the first time I'd been at the Waterford facilities, even though because I didn't go in 2019. And it's a phenomenal facility. They've got a beautiful sort of arena building in the middle. And there were two turf pitches and the rest were grass pitches. And they had, oh, I think it was 10 pitches going all day from Monday to Thursday from 8 a.m. to 5 for all of those matches. And then the junior and intermediate finals happened on the Thursday. And then the senior finals, the cup finals for those happened on the Friday at Walsh Park in Waterford. But the facility was phenomenal. So you do have to have a large scale facility to be able to accommodate that many games over that many days.
So the chances are it would probably be one of what used to be the regional technical colleges, the likes of Athlone or Sligo, Limerick, where they would have similar type facilities.
Yes, yeah, it would need to be.
Indeed. Going off topic briefly, the CYC, that has happened. Was there any Ottawa representation this year?
Yeah, we had four kids that went down. It was a little smaller than we've had in the past. We've had full teams at different ages. And part of that is kids are growing up and then we don't have as many sort of the younger kids participating today. So we're looking to build that again. And but Toronto had they have two youth clubs now in Toronto, the Toronto Chieftains and Michael Davitz. And so Davitz had kids there as well this year for the first time for them. And so that was great to see. And they've, their kids are from U6, U8, U10, U12, and even some into U14. And, so yeah, it's great seeing, you know, and it's a very important, pathway for the kids. You know, within your own city, you're playing kind of regionally, training through the weeks and months of the summer, but it really culminates in getting to go to CYC. And if you know, you speak to the kids that are now playing at World Games, they're in their early 20s to mid 20s, they fondly remember, all these kids were at CYC together and they fondly remember that. In fact, it was funny. We were bringing up photos of, you know, my son Ryan and Finn Kilmurray when they were playing at U8. And so they were, you know, I have photos of the two of them with these little young 8-year-old faces. And now here they are in their early 20s playing together again. So, and that was what we were trying to, you know, provide in terms of a pathway for some of our players by working on bringing a club team.
Well, Kerry, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been fantastic catching up. And I know you had the opportunity to take a vacation after, but 3 years from now is, as we said, the next time. And we'll find out where. And no matter where it is, I know it's going to be an enjoyable experience.
Yes, it sure will. So thanks so much, Austin. Appreciate you following up.